Welcome to the Gear Garage Live Show. This weekly YouTube show covers whitewater rafting, river safety,
oh God, I lost my paddle,
gear, and anything else Zach feels like rambling on about.
Welcome to today's show. I have a lot to cover, so I'm going to get started. First of all, I'm not 100% sure my mic is working. I hope it is. If somebody there can comment, yes, the mic's working, no, it's not, that would give me a lot of happiness. And I want to thank Jeremy Roper for being a new member. A way to support the show, if you want to, you don't have to, it's not a big deal, is you be a member. And you go to YouTube when you sign up for, like, I don't know, $2 a month, $5 a month, $10 a month, and it helps me buy things to show off for the show. Like, example, this PFD, the Astro Indus, that we're going to talk about at the end. So it allows me to spend money to make the show better and work on different things. So, yeah. So that's – thank you, Jeremy. And if you can do it, cool. If not, no big deal. We're still going to keep doing the show. But I appreciate the support. And just so everybody knows, the next, like, month, maybe 2 months, shows will not be on any regular schedule. I'll try to do them at 2 p.m. when I do them, but we're not going to always do Tuesdays or whatever. My schedule gets really funny for the next few months. So the shows will be hit or miss. I'll do as many as I can, but I'm going to be gone quite a bit doing trips. So today's show, here's the schedule. I want to do a quick talk about non-locking carabiners, talk about our sponsor, GoRafting.com, answer the two questions that we have, and then go into the Astro Indus at the end. If you have questions, throw them in the comments. I mean, the main reason I do this show is to answer questions I get during the week. But if you have something, throw in the comments and we'll all get to it when I can. So first of all, I want to talk about non-locking carabiners. It's ridiculous how many I've seen out there. It's out of control. And I just want to be really clear. I don't say always and never. So I'm not going to say always or never. I'm going to try not to. But we really need to not be using non-locking carabiners. When I say non-locking carabiners, that means carabiners that don't lock. So if you do this and it opens, it's a non-locking carabiner. And if you have it, it needs to be stored inside of a bag. And the idea is that if you fall onto a non-locker, if it's on your PFD and your PFD falls on a D-ring or something, or it's on a D-ring and you fall on it, you can get clipped to it. And then if the boat flips or something happens, you're going to have a really bad time. It's a pretty unpleasant thing. And I see a lot of times people have them in their boats. And so they've made a choice for themselves. They just don't know. And they have people in their boats that are exposed to that risk. And so I'm sure everybody in the show knows this. I just need to make a public announcement. I've just seen it so much the past few weeks. I need to like say something again. I wanted to make one thing, as well. There's lockers and there's auto lockers. So a locker, you have to physically twist it to make it lock. You turn it and it locks. I've seen a lot of lockers, which is great, but unlocked. I actually told somebody on a trip, please lock your carabiners. A day later, I found another locker that was unlocked. So if you have a bad memory, you're lazy, whatever it is, just get yourself auto lockers. You need to twist them to open them. They're a tiny bit more work, but they lock. And then we don't have to worry about somebody falling on it. I've seen so much of this the past few weeks by people that should know better, professional guides, rescuers, boaters of all types are either using non-lockers or lockers that they just don't lock because they forget, they're lazy, whatever. I need to make that announcement. This one is super cool. The Sterling Falcon. It's cool mainly because it's this cool green color. And if you want to buy one of these, check out our store. I'll bring it up on the internet really quick. Riverhardware.com. It's one of our sponsors in that it's my business that I started. It's a little online store. And under River Rescue Gear, you can go buy yourself. It's $26, this Falcon auto-locked pear-shaped carabiner, the HMS carabiner. It looks cool. It's got a really easy lock. And if you're going to buy one, you can buy one here. We also sell ones you have to manually lock, this one, which is basically the one I'm showing here. It's a little less expensive. I'm not sure why you would get that. I mean, there's reasons to get ovals, and we're going to get more in the store because I think it's nice to have a variety to choose from. Both high lock, high value, high quality carabiners. But I just want to make the point that, like, please, 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 let's get rid of these non-lockers. Even, like, I saw somebody's whistle attached with like a little tiny one they get at Walmart, a little non-locker to attach their whistle to their PFD. That's so dangerous. It's so easy to fall and capture that on something. So think about how you attach your whistle, do all the things, and cool. Yeah, and this is the video of a guy caught in a raft in a carabiner. That'll change your mind. You'll be like, okay, I don't want that ever to happen to me. He's like going into a hole, dump trucks everybody. His little ring in the back, his safety rescue harness, which it turns out maybe isn't that safe for him, clipped into a carabiner in the boat, and he couldn't get unattached. Like, think about surfing a hole and trying to undo a carabiner behind you at the same time. It's not easy. He was fine, turned out fine. But the whole time you're watching this thinking, what if this dude flips? Like, terrifying. I mean, yeah, terrifying. And so easy to solve. Just like, buy some. Go to wherever you need to buy your carabiners. Go to NRS and buy their cheap jobbies, or buy my expensive ones. So, or buy them somewhere else. Amazon, wherever. Just, you want them to lock. And you want to lock them. Again, the number of times I've seen lockers not locked in the past 8 days is not good. Okay. Next up, I want to talk about our sponsor, our real sponsor of the show today, GoRafting.com. GoRafting sells these cool maps that you can put on your, they work on your phone. And so you basically, if you do the Middle Fork of the Salmon, the Rogue, the Grand Canyon, the Illinois, I wrote the Illinois map. You can buy these maps. And what happens is it's on an app. So one thing about maps too is they change. Like the Middle Fork map you bought 2 years ago has a lot of problems because there's been landslides. And so when you buy a map through an application like this, the app will update on its own. So before, if you bought the map last year and you're going to the Middle Fork this year, you can just re-download it and it should have the right information. Now, right now it just says where the landslides were. There's no beta because we don't know what's going to happen. But as information emerges, they will update the app. That's super cool. Like, it's an updatable map. So it's just, right now you just have to buy the newest edition, or hopefully they come out with a new edition or a new page or whatever. And there's a lot of other reasons. Like, you know where you are on the river. You can tell your mileage. Cody from Private Whitewater used my Illinois map. And maybe he was just being nice to me, but he was like, it was really cool. So thanks for using it, Cody, and saying nice things about it. But I used it on the Grand Canyon. I will attest, it's sweet. And they sponsor the show. So thank you, GoRafting.com. And again, you have to use it, you have to get the Far Out app, which is free, and then buy the maps from GoRafting that plug into the Far Out app. Hopefully that made sense. If you have questions, ask somebody else. I don't even know the answer to them. Ask GoRafting. Okay, next up on our list. Oh, back to here. I'm going to answer questions. Oh, we're here there already. That's great. So the first question, what are the benefits of having a Sotar Rogue versus a Paddle Cat kind of boat? Also, do you think it would be comparable to the Air Mammoth? So for those of you that don't know, let's look up Sotar Rogue, just so everybody knows what it is. I'm pretty enamored with these boats right now. I really like them. I, first of all, really appreciate that Sotar is doing innovation. And like, this is legit innovation. This isn't like, we're going to do this thing that helps a little bit. This is a legit new category of rafts. And I'm gonna watch the videos, but what it is, let's make one of these bigger. This is, I think they're asking specifically about the Nugget, or nope, we'll just look at the one I have. I have two of the I think the 13 footers, the Taiz, and I bought them with the intention of taking them to Ecuador for rowing schools we were supposed to do in January, and then that got canceled. And so we've been using them all spring for our class four schools. And I can just tell you the lightweightness of them. Is that a word? The lack of weight that they have, the low weight that they carry. They're not very heavy. Let's just put it that way. It's awesome. I mean, just when you go to lift one, you're like, oh, finally a light boat. You don't have to drag it. It's simple. And the reason it's light is the fabric's a little thinner, which we may find in a few years might be a durability thing. Maybe. But also the floor is mesh. If you can see, that's just a mesh floor there. That's not a floor. And floors are the really expensive parts of these boats. So because making I-beams is just hard. Like, it's just a lot of work. And so they're lighter and the expense is gone with no floor. What you get now, though, instead is a floor that's raised up a little bit. And so I wish there was a photo of this from the front. Because if you look at it from the front, you'll see that you can actually go over rocks in the center. At least, can I pause on that photo? That's the photo I want. Do you see? Oh, yeah, right here. So with this design, it's above the water. Like the water line's probably like down here somewhere. If you can see where my cursor is, there's a good like 4 inches above the water. And so if you need to go over some rocks, you can, which is kind of nice. You can pontoon rocks like a cat. And because it doesn't have a floor, it does kind of act like a cat. Not fully, but it does kind of act like a cat. It kind of is a combo of a raft and a cat. But it performs really well. And I mean, the couple times we put them on trips, we had a few people. I know at least one person bought one right away after the class. And a few other people were like, I think I'm going to buy one. Like, they're pretty jazzed on them. So getting back to the question, what are the benefits of a Sotar rope? Okay, cool. So the benefits are it's lighter. They're not that expensive. They're pretty affordable. And they have the elevated floor, which is really nice. And if you tear the floor, it's a pretty cheap fix. If you tear a floor in a raft, in the field, that's hard to fix. And it's a very expensive fix when you get back home. So lots of advantages. I have disadvantages coming, so don't worry. He didn't ask about the benefits. I'm going to tell you about the not benefits right now. Some of this is my opinion. Some of it I think is just fact. So first of all, one side is diminishing. This side over here. Oh, wait, let me get back to the thing. It's my cursor. One side is diminishing right here. And this side is not diminishing. I'm not a fan. I'm a fan of symmetric boats, but I also am not a fan of diminishing tubes. So I think that there's some reason why one side's diminishing. I think that, yeah, I'm not a fan. Having used them a bunch, there's no advantage to having one side diminished. I would make both sides non-diminishing tubes. That's one thing. Also, I think this boat in particular, the 13-foot, is a tiny bit narrow. I think I'd want a little bit wider. For our tubing, it's probably a nice width. But if I'm going to row it, I wish it was a little bit wider. It's fine. I wish it was a little bit wider. Also, the valve placement is we're playing hide and seek valves. This is like airboats. You gotta figure out where the valves are. They're all over the place. Like, there's no rhyme or reason. I really feel like valves should be standard on the ends of boats. We should have to play hide and seek to find our valves every time. It's just frustrating to me. I'm sure there's reasons. I mean, I would pay another $100 to just have the valves put in the right places. And there's a bit too much branding for my taste. Like, they have Rogue Series by Sotar on there and the name of the boat Argo. Like, I prefer it just said Sotar in small letters. People know, but a little more branding that I like. And the last thing is if you flip one upside down and try to get on top of it, it's almost impossible because you have to climb over the, like, there's nothing to grab inside, and it's like up it. It's hard to explain, but when it's upside down, you have to go up and over that tube down to the floor to even have a chance to grab something. And there's nothing really to grab. And it almost needs a handle installed underneath to help climb up over the tube. And it's just really hard to get into upside down. And this is actually an advantage of the diminished side. I don't think, and I think it's really hard to get in on the regular size tube size. The diminished size tube gives you a fighting chance to get into it. So I would honestly probably be putting like a handle under the boat specifically for where you need to grab to get into the upside down boat. This is kind of a flippy boat. It's light. It's narrow. Like, these boats are flippy. And so having a solution for that would be great. And in general, like, I don't think any manufacturer puts any thought into how you get into the upside down boat. And so a lot of times you buy a boat and it's almost impossible to get in it. So you should look at your upside down boat and think, how am I going to get into this? And do I need to install some sort of little straps or something to help me or somebody else get into this upside down boat? They're not thinking about that at all. And some sort of handle or something would really help. So those are my thoughts. To me, it's not perfect, but it's really good. And I appreciate the innovation. And I'm so grateful that Sotar made this boat because I'm digging it. I think it's really useful. It's great for travel. This 13-foot boat, it says, is 72 pounds, I think. I haven't weighed it yet myself. I think if you take, 72 pounds, I believe that includes the thwarts. So I'm hoping if you take the thwarts out and have a really light bag, it's 70, which you're allowed to travel internationally with. Like, imagine traveling with like a 13-foot boat internationally. That's in a plane. That's pretty cool. The other boats are like, one of them is about 50, which isn't, there's not an extra fee for 50. So yeah, cool boat. Let me see if I answered that question. Okay. Do you think it would be comparable with the Air Mammoth? So those are different and boats. So let's look at the Mammoth. I think the Mammoth, I'm a fan of innovation. Any company that's innovating, thank you. Like, thank you for doing it. I'm going to say some bad things about the Mammoth because I think it's weird, but I'm appreciative that Air did it and are trying it and they're innovating and they're seeing what works and what doesn't work. So I want to preface it. Same thing with the Rogue series. There's some things I don't like, but I own two of them and I really like them. So I just think they can be better. This boat, the Air Mammoth, is really weird to me. It's like a paddle boat in the back and a paddle cat in the front. It's a one-trick pony. It's probably really good for the Locksaw. It's probably made for the Locksaw, I'm guessing. It's really good for certain types of rivers, but I like symmetric boats. So I think it's weird that this happens. It's like this. The difference is, this is actually a cat boat thingies in the front. So it's made to punch, it'll probably punch holes better than the Rogue series, but it still has a floor, a regular floor that sits down low that catches water that affects tracking and all that. So, and I would never use this as an R boat. This makes no sense. This is a paddle boat only. And I wouldn't, would you R2 this? I wouldn't, this is made to have a guide sit in the back on that back thing and have people paddling up front. Like, I wouldn't R2 this. I wouldn't row it. I would specifically run the Locksaw in this, and that's what it's made for. And it would otherwise, personally, it would sit in my garage. Where the Rogue series are just like a light boat that is half cat, half raft, and super innovative. I'm super stoked on it. Okay, so I think I answered that question pretty well. Boom, done. Okay, next question. I read your article on doing the John Day on a sup. I have a self-supported sup trip planned for May 7th to 11th, but from 30 mile to Cottonwood. Do you recall the CFS when you did it? I'm looking at the service creek gauge at 6,700 currently. Yeah, I don't remember it. I wrote that article so that I could share notes with people that, so I wouldn't have to answer this question. So if I didn't put the flow in there, I don't remember what it was. And whatever the flow is now, like the 6,700, it will almost definitely not be that May 7th to 11th. Like, you can just count on it. Like, looking at the flow now doesn't help you. It helps in May. So yeah, no, all the intel I have is the article you read, and I wrote a description of the John Day on Whitewater Guidebook, and that's it. Everything I know, I put on the internet. Everything else I forgot. I wish I could help you more, but I just don't. The reason I put it on the internet is so that I don't have to remember it because I have a terrible memory. Okay. Andres. The Mammoth has a mesh floor? Oh, yeah. That's pretty cool. Is it elevated? Oh, it's elevated. Oh, I'm wrong. Whoa. I've seen these before. I forgot that. Good catch. Thank you. That's cool. Yeah. So, yeah, let me take that back. They're probably pretty similar, except that the Mammoth is a cat boat in the front. But yeah, whoa. Okay. I didn't know that. That's cool. Good job, Bear. Yeah. I'm still not going to buy one, but I appreciate the innovation. Man, thanks for catching me on that. Phew, I must spread misinformation. I'm trying not to do that these days. Okay, now let's go back to where we're at. Ooh, let's go to here. I think I'm going to talk about the Indus now. Okay, so let's go to the Indus, the thing I really want to talk about. If you have questions, put them in the comments. I hope you don't, because I want to talk about the Indus the rest of the time. For years, I've been wanting a high flow PFD. And when I say high float, I'm going to say that's over 25 pounds. Or let's say I've been wanting a medium float or a high float. More flotation than 16 and a half pounds. And the current PFD that I like is the NRS Big Water Guide Jacket, because it has like 22 pounds of PFD. 22 pounds of flotation. And flotation's really good. A lot of people are like, no, I don't want flotation because if I go in a hole, I want to get sucked down to the bottom and spit out. And flotation will keep me in a hole. I don't think that's the case, personally. I'm more worried about the long swim where my head's like right here in the water or here. And we just did an IRF course in California. Part of the IRF course is a swim test and watching guides swim. And everybody in these low flow PFDs were like to here and really struggling on the swim. You know, because you have these minimal float PFDs that come at 16 and a half pounds designed for like, I don't know, Teo Berman and like these 140 pound athletes to go kayaking in. And the people like me that are 220 get one to raft guide in. And it's just not really designed for a larger weight. And then if you shove your knife in there and you have a whistle and you have a like little carabiner thingies and all your accoutrements, and it gets a couple of years old, this thing that was 16 and a half pounds brand new is really like 13 or whatever it is. It's less. And it's not the most responsible thing to wear in general. Like if you're in the Rogue, okay, I could see that. But if it's a high water middle fork of the Salmon, you're on the Wind, you're on the Illinois, like these minimal float PFDs that are old and full of stuff really aren't the smartest thing. And if you look at fatality data, which I do a lot, you'll see that most fatalities are under the flush drowning, which basically means they went downstream and drowned and we didn't get a report because they died. They didn't report back to us what happened. And so we rarely know the circumstances other than they floated downstream and they drowned. I bet in like a significant amount of those, a little more flotation would have helped. And so I'm a big fan of flotation. And I have a bunch of PFDs. One of my favorites is this Palm. This is the Palm Nevis because it has, I think it's like whatever, 80 newtons, 90 newtons, which is like around 19, 20 pounds. And I really like this PFD for a lot of reasons. One of them, if I'm teaching a course, I guess it's a little higher so you can see. If I'm teaching a course, we're teaching a lot of classes right now, I have to carry a lot of stuff in here. I carry a notepad. I'm gonna see what I have in here now. Like I need pockets. So I have a notepad, which is great for taking notes on how students are doing. I have sunscreen because I need to wear sunscreen. An extra pen for the notepad. But I also like in here, let's see what I have. I have my flip line in the side pocket. The Nevis has these really cool kangaroo side pockets, but I'm also carrying a radio in here and snacks. The Nevis also has this back pouch that I keep like a really minimal first aid kit with me. Like just the most basics in case I need stuff, like just quick stop the bleed kind of stuff. And it has, I'm supposed to talk about the Astral PFD, but it also has this really cool built-in phone pocket. Like it's designed for a phone because we're all carrying phones now for a lot of reasons. So anyway, the Nevis is sick. Great PFD. My only complaint is I wish they had more flotation. And also, like, I'm kind of tired of taking it off over my head. I wish it was side entry. I wish there was three buckles. Click, click, click. But whatever. I'm happy. I mean, I take it off and on, like, three times a day for the past month. So I'm a little tired of taking this one off. But other than that, it's a sick PFD. And I wish I had more flotation. More flotation, I'd be even happier. Whatever, it has 19 pounds. I wish I had 22. So anyway, that's this PFD. And it's also not U.S. Coast Guard approved, so technically a lot of places you can't use it. It's all thing. So we've been asking, I've been mentioning over and over, we need flotation. And somebody in one of my classes even started a petition to get more flotation in PFDs because it's frustrating. All these classes I teach, I'm like, hey, by the way, you need flotation in your PFD, especially if you're not light. I have a lot of students who are like 200, like me, 200 plus, 250. And they need the flotation. And they go, what PFD do you recommend, Zach? And I say, the only one that really fits in that category is the NRS Big Water PFD, which I have here somewhere. We call it the Justin Bieber. And it's a great PFD. There's some disadvantages. And I wish I had it here to show everybody. The pockets, I don't love the pockets. Has little hand warmer pockets, which are great unless you're rowing and your oar handle gets stuck on them when you're shipping. And it looks dorky. You'll call the Justin Bieber to make it sound cool, but it actually looks super dorky. So yeah. So it's been a thing. And so I've always been like, it'd be nice if PFD manufacturers made a higher flow PFD for us. And Astral just did that. And it's the Astral. And I just got this like an hour ago. So I haven't even tried it on. I'm going to try it on here for the first time and just tell you all I think and let you ask questions. It has 22 pounds of flotation, which I'm going to put in the category of medium float. I think they're trying to call it a high float. I'm going to say high float is 25 plus because there are PFDs out there. They're 25 plus. And so we'll call this medium float because everything else is low float. Like don't fool yourself. You're in low flow PFDs, almost all of you. This is now a medium float. High float is a lot more. So before I get to this, get to some questions, and then we'll get to this because the questions are piling up. Why are October prints so easy in the middle fork? Yeah, the weather and the flow. It's pretty cold. It can be really cold. Nick nailed it. Yeah, sure. It's cold. It's cold. Chris tried an Indus today. I was surprised. Yeah, I'm about to find out. Now, the pockets are where I'm stuck on this. I'm worried that the pockets are going to be a problem. Looking forward to trying the Indus green jacket as a primary. Yep. The pocket on the Indus is totally insufficient. We're about to find out. Like, that was my thought, Sean, but we're about to find out because I think there's options. Mike bought a big, let me show this up. Bought a big water guide specifically for Illinois. Surprisingly comfortable, slow. That's a key. Sitting low is helpful. It's comfortable, but also you want the flotation in the water. So if a lot of flotation's up high and some of the PFD's out of the water, you're not getting the flotation. You want it sitting low so all the flotation's underwater. I want to know if it's easy to keep the anchor thingy that you recommend in the Indus. What's the anchor thingy? You talking to me, Nick? What anchor thingy? Oh, the blue. Oh, the Titan sling. Yeah, that's what I'm with you. I'm on. So let's throw this thing on. Let me see. Quickly, right away, I noticed like there's a lot of thick flotation in the front. And there's flotation on the sides, which my green jacket doesn't have. And kind of like some side body armor as well. And I got the blue because it looks cool. Probably should have got the red for to be more visible. I just thought the blue looked cool. And like I said, I'm tired of putting this one over my head this whole month. You're about to see me be exhausted putting this one over my head. Let me see if I can get these buckles loosened enough to get on a bigger person. This is the large, extra large. Okay, here we go. Oh, man. I'm so tired of putting PFDs over my head. I'm tired of it. Like, I'm about to do it, but I'm tired of it. Come on. Just make a side entry. Do something to keep me from doing this all the time. All right, here we go. Oh, this is like... Okay, so I wish my chair got higher. Why won't my chair go higher today? So everybody can see a little bit better. Stand up a little bit. So, yeah, my quick thoughts are it sits pretty high. And if I'm kayaking, I want it high because I have my skirt on and I'm leaning over my kayak. If I'm rafting, I kind of want to lower. Oh, I can drop it like that a little bit. Okay, so it's on. And the other thing about Astral, the green jacket I don't like versus the Palm Nevis. Palm Nevis, you just tie two straps and you're done. The Astral I have to do one, two, three. And the waist harness. It's a lot of straps to put this. Ooh, that lower one's comfy. And I gotta put the little safety harness on. Because, you know, if I want to rescue, I gotta have a rescue harness. Because you can't rescue without a rescue harness. God forbid you didn't have one. Okay, so my first reaction right now, and I'm gonna try to kayak with it tomorrow, is I wouldn't mind wearing this kayaking. It's not that bulky, actually. It's a little bulkier, but in a kayak, this isn't bad. So this pocket. Ooh, what's in the pocket? The zipper pocket everybody wants to know about. Oh, there's a cool rescue pocket guide, just what I need if I want to rescue somebody. Oh, look, there's somebody swimming downriver ahead of me in a low flow PFD. What do I do? Check out the rescue pocket guide. What's it gonna have me do? Tie some knots. That's not gonna help. Let's see. Put on my quick lean harness, release harness. That's not gonna help. One to one, two to one, three to one. That's not gonna help. And tethered swimmer rescue. That's not gonna help either. So. The Swiftwater Rescue Pocket Guide is really only useful for ways people don't usually die. Because they usually die swimming downriver, not tying anchors and not. Like tying anchors and knots and boat pinning is just not saving people. That's just saving stuff we left in the river. So not that useful to me. Anyway, this pocket's not bad. This is, to me, a phone pocket because I can't access it with this hand. So to me, this is like phone, which is kind of a good phone pocket slash sunscreen slash other stuff. So, and my notepad. My notepad's going to fit in there when I do classes. So that's kind of cool. This one doesn't fit, but I'll just get a smaller one. Notepad, phone, that kind of stuff. Cool. This, I think, is the knife pocket. And so I think I have a knife in here. And so I think if I put a knife in here like that, it may not live. It kind of wants to stay. So I can access it with this hand, and I can access it with this hand a little more challengingly. So, oh, kind of cool. I feel like there's a little loop in here that you can maybe get creative with. So, yeah, this is kind of cool. I like the idea of my folding knife like that. I worry I'm going to hit it on my when I'm paddling, and I worry that I'm going to lose it. But I'm going to give it a shot. That's kind of cool. And then behind here, like the green jacket, there's some space. And I heard there's some other kind of pocket. I think it's just this. Cool. So there's some space in here. So I think, Nick, to answer your question and my question, if I'm going to carry this, which is now for me as a guide, a mandatory piece of equipment that I carry in a PFD, not around my waist, I think I can put this right here. Ooh, where's my Cobra slip? So I think it can go right here, which makes the front a little bit bulkier. But if I have a flip, I get quick access, boom, or I just need it. So yeah, I think we can carry flip lines here, which will pull it out of the pocket, which is where I carry it now. I think there's a nice spot back there. And it feels like there's something else going on here. I don't know what this is. I feel like there's some other pocket here. Maybe not. Anybody knows? Anyway, that's kind of cool. For external knife, if I had like an externally mounted knife, I don't like this position. Because the blade's sticking out this way, and it's going to be hard to access with your hand. I don't like this sideways position. You could go like this, I guess. But for rafting, you can't go like that. You have to go sideways because of the way they put these tabs. So I think this is kind of pointless. And it has the pockets the green jacket has that are way back here. This is where I probably, like, I put some, oh man, you have to be doing yoga to get to these. Like, these are brutal to get to. I don't think I would put my flip line in these. I might put like a snack or first aid stuff or stuff you don't really need. But here's a quick look at the back. I don't know. Kind of cool. I love the yellow on the zippers, which is pretty cool. So I just want to say, like Sotar, thank you, Astral, for doing this, for innovating, giving us something great, giving us flotation that looks cool. I think the issue with a lot of high flow PFDs is they look dorky, so we're not going to wear them. This is a comfortable high flow PFD that looks cool. I think the weakness is storage, but I think we can manage the storage. I think there's these slings, the Palm Cobra sling, that I might switch to because these work really nicely. Now, I know people have problems with the pockets. I know that question's coming. I know it's already been seen there. We just have to rethink how we do things based on the pockets. And so instead of maybe using this, which is a little bulkier, we switch to like more of a tape sling. And I'm gonna order. I've ordered some of these. I'll have these in like mid-May. This is Paul makes them in Europe. Have a few for sale. Put a carabiner on this. And then throw this flat thing behind here. I think the flat, like the rolled up flat tape, will fit better here than that roll. You could roll this up too if you wanted to. But I think instead of just like haphazardly putting it in, the flat tape is the way to go. So I think I might start running more of the Cobra sling than the Blue Water Titan sling. Although this does work for that spot. And then I guess I'll go run a knife here, I think. I think that's going to be smart. And my phone will go right here. And my notes, and my sunscreen, and my chapstick. Like, I don't know. There's room there for sure. Okay, so those are my thoughts. It looks cool. It has flotation. I'm going to take this on the Illinois Sunday. I'm going to go kayaking in the morning with it. I'll do a real review of it now that I've done it. I'll try to get it up tonight. I'll kayak in it tomorrow. I'll give my kayaking thoughts on a different video. I'll take it on the Illinois on Sunday for a week and come back and have thoughts about it. I'll swim in it, which I am jazzed to swim in it. Like, not swim on accident, like not swim green wall, but like swim a little bit and just see what it's like. Okay, so let's get to some of the comments and then I'll share a few more thoughts. I love the pockets on the Indus. Yeah, that's sweet. Cody, let's talk on the phone. If you're around, give me a call. Because this is the first time I've used it. And I'd rather have the clamshell or the classic one where you can fold down and have a sandwich tray. But I'd rather have flotation than that. And I have a feeling they couldn't do that and flotation. Maybe they could have, but I have a feeling. The Indus is super high in our chest. Yeah. Yeah, it's not. This is the problem with the Indus. And this is where I have a problem with it. It's not designed for rafting. It's designed for kayaking. And it's designed for like 8 people in the world. Like, it's designed for like, if you saw like the video they put out, they didn't mention anything about it. They're just like, here's some dude kayaking and modeling. And you, if you get this PFD, you might kayak like that someday. Nobody kayaks. Like, hardly anybody kayaks the Indus or the Stikine or whatever. This is designed to paddle high volume rivers for sure. It's designed to kayak in the same way all the Astral stuff is. I don't think they took rafters into account at all. So you're getting a kayak PFD. And so it sits higher, and it has to sit higher because in a kayak, the way you sit, you can't have a regular low fitting one. I'm pretty much positive that the target, the consumer who's going to buy this are rafters, raft guides, private boaters. I don't see that many kayakers buying it, honestly. Like, it's probably going to be fine to kayak in, but I'd rather have a low float for like flexibility and not like hitting my arms every time I go buy this thing. But we'll see. I think that they should have designed this for rafters instead of people that run the Indus. That's probably what happened. Okay. I use the same flip line that Zach recommends and a fit in the find the front pocket. I didn't think there's a good option to do that flip line and a knife internally. Yeah, you're not going to do a flip line inside of here. And the main, it would fit, but you don't have access with your left hand. So with flip lines, I want access with both hands for whatever reason. But even if you put it in here, where's your phone going to go? And like, I know it sounds dorky, but phones are nice to have. Emergency communication, photos, maps, I don't know, whatever else. I'm carrying my phone with me. It's a thing. I'm carrying a phone with me, and I use it. I do video in schools, like, absolutely. So you could fit your thing in here, but I think that if you're going to carry a flip line, which you should, I think these pockets, if you do yoga, and otherwise, like I said, behind the thing. And again, I think rolling up your whatever sling you have like this, sticking it behind is the way to go. And you can roll this stuff up. I did it the other day. It doesn't roll up as nice. So I might switch to the tape. Wish the Astrals had shoulder strap adjustability so you could put it lower. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the Bowen is the old Blue Jacket, for those of you that don't know. The Blue Jacket is the version of the Green Jacket with no rescue harness. The adjustment is here, right? This pulls it all together. So if you loosen these up all the way, you can get it pretty low. But they didn't design this for rafters. They designed this for like the 9 kayakers in the world that are running the Indus and the Stikine and whatever. There's more than 9. There's like more than that, but not that many. Is a Titan sling going to stay back there if I get my ass kicked in a big hole? I talked to Michael about this morning. I think it was Michael, somebody. And people put their slings here and they don't fall out. And maybe avoid holes, Nick. I think I would just avoid holes. Or you know what you could do before running a wrap of the big hole, just take it out and put it somewhere else and then put it back in when you're done. I feel actually pretty good about it, to be honest with you. And it has like, what's weird is this. It has this little flap here, which is, I think, is all, I think you can see that flap, but it's almost meant to keep stuff back there. It's this area behind here is designed. Oh, I don't have their little cute little throw bag. It's designed to fit their cute little throw bag. So I think I think it'll stay in, Nick, but maybe just avoid the holes. There's a little pocket in the back. In the back of what? I'm doing the back of. Am I missing a pocket? If I'm missing a pocket, then I'll be pretty stoked. In the back of the PFD, back here, it'll give me a little info. It doesn't zip, which is kind of nice because you can just go and get it. It's. I mean, Nick, come on, chill out. It's fine. Tons of room. And I think it'll stay. And like I said, a lot of people have done this with their flip lines, and it's been fine. I mean, it's your choice. Nick, do you want to lose a flip line or two or float? It's up to you. Does it still sit high on the torso? Yeah. Yep. Again, they designed for kayakers. The only PFDs I know designed for rafters are the MTI PFDs, which are great, but they don't make any more. And the NRS ones. The NRS Big Water Guide. And then a couple other like not very good ones. There's a huge market here. We've been saying this for years. Make a high flow PFD for rafters. Just do it. And they don't do it because I don't know why. I'm not sure. But yeah, I hear all of this. Do you think the Zen Rescue PFD is medium flow? Yeah, it's only 19 pounds. Like low float, I'm going to say is like 16 to 18. I'm going to say medium float is like 19 to 24-ish. And high float starts at 25, somewhere around there. For some of you, high float, you want high float. You want 28 pounds. If you're heavy and big, like you want flotation. And especially if you're running stuff like the Wind, the Illinois, the North Fork Payette, you want flotation for sure. So if I remember right, the Zen Rescue is 19 pounds, which is great. NRS is putting 19 pounds in a kayaker PFD. They're the first ones to do it. And then Astral is doing it too. And again, do not fool yourself. This is a kayaking PFD that rafters are going to use. And rafters are going to buy way more of them than kayakers. I almost guarantee it. I kayak and raft. I didn't buy this for kayaking. I bought this for rafting. I'm going to try it in my kayak tomorrow, but yeah. Oh, Cody, you did a review. I haven't seen that yet. I got to check it out. I have a Zen and I float fine, probably because I can sit super low on my torso. Yeah. Zen, most of the Zens are like 18 or 19. Wait, hold on. Cody, did you review this PFD or your Zen? We got to talk when this is over. Okay. Zen and I float fine. Yeah, I mean, Sawyer, are you 220 pounds like me? Because like that's, I don't float as well in those small float PFDs. And also, is yours new or old? And what's all your accoutrements? Yeah, I saw people the other day with rocks, and their favorite rock is in their PFD. Like, what do you bring in your PFD? If you had the WWTC, the harness pocket is great for the sling. If you had the W, so what Halder's saying is the WWTC is the throw bag that Gaspar makes in Hungary that I import and sell through River Hardware, whatever. And there's a pocket that you can put on the WWTC that you can put. Let me bring this stuff up. While we're here, I might as well just bring it up because this is a good point. So the WWTC throw bags are these, right? The ones I own like 20 different throw bags. I test them all different all the time. In my opinion, they're the best, and probably not just because I sell them. There is this flip line pocket that you can get right here that goes on the side of your throw bag thing. It clips in really nice. That's perfect for a flip line. It works really well for a flip line. And so, yeah, that is something you could do for your flip line or more storage. That's a possibility. I don't always carry a waist belt throw bag. And I'm so personally trained on having my PFD. Like I'm just so, it's so like second nature for me. I'm not going to switch to this pocket, but if I was going to always wear a waist belt throw bag, I might switch to that system. Hopefully that made sense. If you have the WWTC harness, the sling can go. Yeah. Same thing. Unboxing. Yeah, it's kind of, I unboxed it earlier. That's funny you said that because I unboxed it. I was really excited to get it. I unboxed it earlier and thought, oh, I should have done an unboxing, but it's fine. Basically the same thing. Like, oh, I can do something that YouTubers do. Pocket on the inside back. Wait, so Sean, I take this off. Cody didn't unbox. Oh, that's sweet. I should have watched that next. Cody, I'm gonna watch your unboxing video and I'm gonna copy it and say the same things and put it on YouTube. Okay. So what Sean's saying is, and by the way, you should please go subscribe to Private Whitewater YouTube channel. Just turn this off. Go there. You'll have a great time. Oh, yeah. That's sweet. I'm so glad they're doing this. This is so smart. This is basically like a passport pocket. And it has a little dollar sign on it. Money, whatever. It's weird there's a dollar sign on it. Can I show the dollar sign somehow? And I'll see this. There's a little dollar sign pocket back here. My thumb covering it. Okay, right there, dollar sign. So when you're traveling overseas and you're paddling, sometimes you don't want to leave your passport in a car or somewhere. Or if you're paddling a long trip and you're in the middle of nowhere, like heading into India, you kind of want to just have your passport with you, right? So having your passport on your body is a thing. And this pocket behind you is a great place to put your passport in a Ziploc and just have it on your body. But also what I've been doing with the Palm, this pocket's even better, is I've been carrying this little mini first aid with me. It has some stereo strips. It's pretty wet. Oh, how'd I get wet? Oh, man, it's all wet. Come on, I got to do a review of Ziplocs. That's a bummer. My Ziploc got wet. That's a drag. Anyway, it's got gloves. It had Terry, but Terry got all wet. And Tagaderm, which for those of you that don't know, Tagaderm is amazing stuff. If you get some sort of cut on your hand and you need to cover it, this is a transparent dressing that's waterproof that will stay on for like 4 days if you need it to. Like I've used it a few times, got a big cut somewhere, put this on. If it gets infected, you can see the infection. So if I'm going to just bring a few things with me paddling, it's gloves, Tagaderm, stereo strips. It's just nice to have in your PFD. I've been on a lot of trips where somebody just gets a really bad cut. And if you have the basic stuff to manage it, it'll save the day. I have a CPR mask in the front. Ah, man, come on, Ziplocs. What's up? That literally was a brand new Ziploc. How does it get wet? Maybe I didn't zip it all the way. Ah, who knows? Get back to that. That's frustrating. At least I found out now. Oh, well, there you go. I finally knew. But that's a cool feature. Sean, thanks for letting me know. That actually, most of us aren't going to go paddling overseas and cross into like a foreign land. But some people are. But as a minimum, a mini first aid behind you that you can get stuff in a pinch, it's pretty sweet. I definitely appreciate that. I wish it was a bigger pocket. But I'm stoked on that. So here's my first impression, just trying it on. It's sweet. It looks cool. Feels comfortable. When I go paddle big water class 5, I'll definitely take it, like 100%. Like, I mean, it feels super comfortable when I go paddle the Indus next year and the Stikine and what other gnarly things am I going to paddle? Like, anyway, when I go paddle the hardest class 5 in the world, I'm going to be stoked to have it. But also for like guiding, I'm a fan. I think it's going to be good it could be better. They could have designed it for rafters, but it's better than what we have. Like, and honestly, like the Justin Bieber jacket, the NRS one, I'm kind of embarrassed wearing it. Like, it looks kind of dorky and the pockets are really bad. I really don't like the pockets. This has better pockets than the NRS. The big advantage of the NRS is it sits lower. And so if your body type is one where you need your PFD to sit lower, this isn't going to work at all. So, you know, that's a bummer. Those are my quick thoughts. Yeah, that's a bummer. Hey, Sean, what should I put my stuff in? If a Ziploc isn't waterproof, what is waterproof that will fit back there? We should make waterproof passport / first aid pouches for our PFDs. I'll get to work on that. So anyway, thank you everybody for listening to me just go on and on and on about this PFD. I've been wanting something like this for years. My natural instinct is to complain because it's not perfect, but I need to remember it's amazing. And I almost was forced to wear the Justin Bieber on the Illinois Sunday, and now I can wear something and look cool instead of that dorky one. And the Justin Bieber, I want to remind you all, the NRS one, it has cool warmer pockets that are great if you want to keep your hands warm, but it snags oars when you go by with an oar. And so safety-wise, I'm not super stoked on that particular feature. So, yeah. Carrying an ID and insurance card is sweet. Yep. the bags you recommend for the winter first fire starter kit or dry. Man, Sean, I have to remember what you're talking about. Oh, those. Will that fit? Yeah, those little seal line things. Good idea. Good memory. So that's it for this episode. Thank you all for watching. I'm on the river next week. I'll try to do a show Friday-ish, but it may be a couple weeks. I want to, again, thank our Jeremy Roper for being a member of the show. Any of you that do decide to be members, thank you. I appreciate the support. And don't forget to subscribe to Private Whitewater's YouTube channel. We're going to get him to 1,000. Send it to your friends. Like, just email your friends, say, subscribe, because we want to get that channel to 1,000. Don't forget about our sponsors, River Hardware, GoRafting.com. And please take your non-lockers and give them to your rock climbing friends. And don't take them on the river. Please. I really hope so. And yeah, that's it. I will see you all here in a week or two.